Now, shortly after that, the Yorkshires were ready. So, in the name of science, we tucked into a roast chicken dinner cooked for us by professional chefs. It's a hard life being a naked scientist sometimes, isn't it, Chris?
Right, dinner's served.
You ready to go?
Yeah, we are. Let's sit down and eat.
Right, everyone's at the table already. I'm late to this. So we've got chicken, we have sauce, we have amazing Yorkshire puddings, and we have the broccoli.
It's all right for a midweek lunch, isn't it? This has come together remarkably well. I'm pretty happy with it.
Should we actually taste some? Then we can decide whether or not we're going to give Mark the thumbs up or kick him out the door. I saw you sticking the temperature probe in there because obviously in a commercial premises like this, you've got to be really careful about food safety because of infections, so on, salmonella, campylobacter and so on that you can get from poultry.
So we removed the chicken from the oven when it was what we call coring, core temperature of 75 degrees, and then it continues to rise up. So you're looking at, for chicken, probably around about 80 degrees for it to be fully safe to eat, or 75 degrees for a number of minutes.
And that was after fewer than 35 minutes in the oven, which if that were a conventional oven, how hot would a cold chicken in at get-go have got to after 35 minutes?
I think you're looking at probably about 20, 25 degrees below that point. There was no way that you could eat a chicken that had been roasted in a conventional oven for that amount of time after 35 minutes.
Katie looks like she's going to murder someone if you don't give her some chicken quite soon.
Here we go. Solve that problem.
Thank you very much.
Are you confident, Mark? You're looking quite confident over there.
I'm always worried, but I'm actually secretly confident, I think, because we've done it once or twice before. Yes.
The gravy's coming, Katie. Don't worry. We're going to get to you soon. Don't worry.
Mark, whilst the gravy's getting dished up, what else have you cooked in this oven? What do you know it can cook? And are there any things it can't cook?
We started off trying to cook the perfect pizza. Our pizzas are charred on the bottom, which you just cannot do in a conventional oven.
I don't know. I'm quite good at that sometimes, Mark.
Well, nicely charred on the bottom. Nicely charred. We can do nice pizzas in about 7 or 8 minutes versus 30 minutes in a conventional oven with the nice base to them. We're confident about chicken and similar sort of larger food items. Yorkshire puddings we've done. And the work continues. I mean, Alex and Lawrence have got their work cut out now to cover the full range.
I'm just going to get some of this sauce, if that's all right. Oh, go on then. Yeah. Let's tuck in.
Yes,
cheers, everyone.
Yes, please. Cheers.
Any good, Katie?
I think this is the best chicken I've ever had in my life.
Cooked by a master chef as well.
This is incredible.
He's got a mouthful, so that's a good sign if the chef has a mouthful.
I think the results, they speak for themselves really, don't they? The chicken is still super juicy. Because we're reducing the cooking time, we're reducing the moisture loss from the chicken. So all those juices that might otherwise be lost to the oven, they stay in the chicken because it's only cooking for 30, 35 minutes. And you know, I think it's a superb roast chicken.
Do you think, would you serve that up to Greg Wallace? Would he pass muster on that, do you think?
I think Greg would be delighted with that.
I'm gonna have some. I'm very jealous. Everyone else is tucking in. Okay, Mark, I believe you now.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Thank you.
There's a number of different things that you can do with it that you just simply can't do with other ovens. The induction plate in the bottom opens up a whole plethora of different techniques that you can use and ways that you can start out the cooking process in different fashions. We're trying to come up with new recipes for it and bits and bobs, and there's just so much stuff that we're thinking of that we can try and do with it.
Do you think it would change the way that we cook at home then?
Absolutely. It's going to change how often people do it because of how much quicker it is. I think it's going to change the quality of the meals that people are able to produce at home. And what me and Alex are trying to do, finding recipes specifically used for it, it's going to change, you know, how easy it is for people to replicate the same things that we're doing at home.
Do you know, I'm going to raise a toast to Mark's oven because it's one thing to come out and make a damn good radio programme. It's another when you actually get fed and it tastes absolutely delicious. Cheers, Mark.
Cheers.
Chris, I've just realised we've been cooked this delicious meal. Does that mean we have to do the washing up?
Oh, yeah. Have you invented a new dishwasher yet, Mark?
Well, so the oven actually helps you with the washing up as well. We have a water canister in the top of the oven, and if you preload it with cold water, it captures all the heat from the vent gases in the oven, and at the end of your cooking cycle, you'll have hot water to do the washing up with.
There you go, Katie. Who's paying?
Yeah, we should have talked about that before we came.
Well, we'll argue about the washing up later, Katie, and who's paying the bill.